One cold summer morning, I lay wrapped in towels on the couch watching Heidi Roth Lopez interview the mother of a giant baby. The baby sat in a separate room with a camera trained on him. A screen behind Heidi and the parents showed the baby to the audience. He had floppy legs and a wet, vapid face. His eyes were smart and dazzling, slightly drugged. The audience tutted and moaned. Someone yelled, "Freak!" I wanted him to be real as much as I didn't, maybe more. The mother wanted it too, and I admired her show of helpless need. Shellacked with tears, she exposed the space in her the size of a fat, diapered teenager. I'd quit data entry by then and was collecting unemployment insurance and trying to write. When the knocking started, I muted the TV and crouch-walked to the window, dropping towels. Two people in windbreakers stood on the stoop, their faces blocked by the awning. A cop car nosed my hustler's tail. "Answer the door, please, Ms. Brown," a woman's voice called. "It's the police." "I haven't done anything." "What about Alex? I don't want to know." I skittered into the bedroom and got under the covers. "Pauline Elizabeth Brown?" a man's voice asked through the screen. I'd left the bedroom window open. "Yes?" "Let us in, please. You've already got two neighbors hanging over the fence. Or we'll climb in through here. Suit yourself." I tugged the curtains across and crawled to the dresser. I had no clean underwear, so I put on a one-piece bathing suit under an Indian print skirt. By the time I opened the door, I had goosebumps. The damp suit smelled of chlorine. The cop stepped into the foyer. "I'm Detective Deborah Young, and this is Detective Wayne Stanton. We understand you used to live in Cloud Lake." Detective Stanton was black-eyed and tall, with a mean-wise smile that poked into one cheek. Detective Young had pink cheeks and a severe blonde ponytail. They held open leather wallets with gold badges on one side and photo IDs on the other. "What's the problem?" Behind them, the empty street looked expectant, prying. "We need you to confirm that you lived in Cloud Lake, in Brampton." Detective Young's voice had a pleasant gloss that strove to make you like her, even as she extracted something dear. "That's right, I did." "Good. Did you know Ramona Hawks?" Cornered, I croaked a yes, with dread and relief. The Telstar with Ramona's picture sat in my box, but I hadn't read about her since that day. I'd avoided the news, too. Without details, my mind had offered flashes of pores, stubble, and knuckles, my body greased with a smell that brought me up to 3 baths a day. I snapped the bathing suit strap and agreed to let them drive me to the station. They took me to a room with a scarred table and 4 chairs. Detective Young fiddled with the blind so it blocked the sun and a blue patch of Lake Simcoe, then sat at the end. She was tall, and her knee hit the table when she crossed her legs. "You're late breaking," Detective Stanton said. He spoke with relieved glee, as if he'd expected I'd give him more trouble. "We didn't know about you until after Ramona Hawks' preliminary hearing." "How did you find me?" "Maybe Ramona had given them my name." I tugged each finger away from its socket. Detective Stanton looked at Detective Young, who twitched. He leaned an elbow on the table as if he wanted to share a secret, his body poised in the relaxed coil of a practiced flirt. His wedding band caught the light like treasure. "You weren't in her yearbook, that's obvious. She had letters and scripts. Your name turned up."
"Scripts?"
"Scripts with your name on them. It appears you wrote them. Keep in mind, your statement could help convict Ramona Hawks at the trial." "Smoke?" I took one and let him light it. After an easy drag, I tapped the cigarette against the crimp-edged ashtray, then held it away from my body. The scripts, I remembered, but I couldn't think of what letters I'd written. I wanted to help, but didn't see how I could. "How will talking to me make a difference? I knew her 5 years ago. I have no idea why or if she did it. I haven't followed the story at all." "What happened at the prelim is public domain," Stanton said. He hitched the back of his pants with one hand. Young inspected her nails, cut blunt and left bare, then spoke. "You might want to bone up further at the library, but we can give you the basics." She had the soothing voice of a shill, and I quickened, alert for loopholes. "There is evidence that Ramona and James Hawks drugged and assaulted teenage girls. While Ramona Hawks is not on trial here for sexual assault, at issue is whether her husband forced her to participate, and she killed him out of fear for her own life, or whether she shared her husband's proclivities and killed him out of jealousy over someone else." She twirled the word someone else into a question as if she had an idea of the other woman's identity, but wanted to see how I responded. After all, Ramona had kept my scripts. I must have meant something to her. Maybe she envied me all these years later. If so, I didn't want to know. Let another friend carry that burden.